Welcome to Under the Microscope, KBIA's weekly look into stories in science, health, and technology. I'm Maureen Lewis Stump. The comment period has closed on the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's proposed rule to limit carbon dioxide pollution from power plants. Veronique LaCapra reports.
By late November, the EPA had already received more than 1.6 million comments on the proposed carbon dioxide limits. Among them was one from Ameren. In a written statement provided to St. Louis Public Radio, Ameren said the proposed rule would cause significant cost increases to customers and raise, quote, serious system liability risks. Supporters of the EPA's carbon dioxide rule say it would reduce air pollution from coal-fired power plants and improve public health. I'm Veronique LaCapra.
More cities want to take eating local food from just a hip trend to an economic generator. But as with many grassroots movements, there can be some growing pains along the way. That has some looking to the tech sector for lessons. Luke Runyon reports.
When you talk about the local food movement to an economist or an economic development team, you're likely to hear the phrase cute to scale. That means up until this point, a lot of the movement has focused on the cute, bucolic farmers markets and high-priced farm-to-table restaurants, leaving the back-end stuff, like distribution and processing, untouched.
It's great to be able to do all that farm-to-table stuff, but now let's figure out how we make it impactful.
That's one of those economic development folks, Josh Burks, economic health director with the city of Fort Collins, Colorado. He wants the city to help make local food more accessible, and he wants it to add jobs and tax revenue to the local economy. To do that, Burks' department is supplying seed money for something called an industry cluster. These clusters help business owners share ideas and facilitate planning. They're part policy council, part think tank, part task force, and part trade association. Forming a food cluster comes with a unique set of challenges. At an indoor winter farmers market, Ashley Colpart tries to sell the newly formed Northern Colorado food cluster to a prospective member. Colpart is the cluster's coordinator.
Part of the purpose of the cluster is to have dialogue that maybe wouldn't have been had before and talk about the constraints in the food system, but also the opportunities.
Colpart says one of the biggest challenges in growing a food system is lack of communication.
I don't know that the average person really cares about aggregating and moving produce in big trucks.
Diana Sokolov is with San Francisco's planning department. The city also has a food cluster.
It's kind of an ugly back-end side of the business.
Sokolov says there's real passion for local food, but few people are thinking about the middle, how to make it more profitable for farmers and more accessible for shoppers. Becca Jablonski is an agricultural economist at Colorado State University.
So I think having some kind of organization that's helping to bring together different constituents who are, you know, all part of the same food system and helping to think through different kinds of opportunities at any scale is really important.
Jablonski says city officials have a vested interest in seeing local food take off to support jobs and feed people. But Jablonski says getting the local food movement away from just being cute could mean a shift in what the word local even means.
You know, is it just farms that sell at farmers markets directly to customers that are considered part of the local food system, or are we talking about something much more broad? And I would actually argue that that broader definition is much more useful.
And that broader definition includes the cute parts of the local food system and the businesses that aren't. Luke Runyon, Harvest Public Media.
That's all for this week's Under the Microscope. I'm Maureen Lewis Stump. Thanks for listening.